Welcome to the Collector's Show, where you'll learn insider secrets about collecting everything. Best places to buy, how to judge authenticity, and what are the collectibles of the next generation. Here's your host, Harold Nickel.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Collector's Show with me, Harold Nickel, here on Web Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in with us this week. We're going to talk in the interview segment about a big collection of napkins. And who knew that napkins were not just collectible, but a big collectible with lots and lots of people who enjoy it. And our guest is going to talk about his some 7,000 individual napkins that he's collected since he was in the third grade. But first, we're going to look at a couple of items from the news of collecting. There is a museum I want you to know about. It is called the Lantrip Ashtray Museum. It's located in Lantrip, California. And in this museum are 8,000 ashtrays. They were collected by a man who was named Dean Lantrip. He was a postal worker in California. He collected all 8,000 of these ashtrays, and he saw it as a commentary on smoking's many health hazards. Ironically, Dean Lantrip died in 2012 at the age of 77, and he was a smoker. I wasn't able to find out if that contributed to his death, because his obituary didn't really list a cause of death. But in his collection were many, many different ashtrays that were shaped like coffins and a lot of others with skeletons, little skeletons, happy little skeletons. So all 8,000 of these are on display in the Centennial Cultural Center, which is located in Oroville, California, and I'll post their particulars and web address on the Collector's Show website. 8,000 ashtrays. And the funny thing was his family just wanted to get him out of the house. In fact, there are photos of celebrities who were on ashtrays, apparently quite the art form. Now, if you've been listening since the beginning, you know that one of my favorite things that we ever talked about was collecting vacuum cleaners, and that the gentleman who we had on, and this was several years ago, who collected vacuum cleaners was the son of a vacuum cleaner dealer and repairman. Well, that may be handier than anybody will ever know, because the European Union, or the EU, has voted as of early September to ban vacuum cleaners with motors over the size of 1600 watts. The maximum size will be reduced to 900 watts by 2017. The ban halts the manufacture and importation of more powerful vacuum cleaners, but models already for sale, already out and available, can still be sold. You can guess what's happened. There is a run, a surge, if you will, in the sales of vacuum cleaners in Europe. The sales have jumped 4 times at some retailers compared with August of 2013. People are trying to get ahead of the ban on vacuum cleaners. And there's a fella, James Brown, 34. He lives in a place called Heener, Derbyshire. That's in the UK. And he runs a repair shop alongside his museum that houses half of his 350 vacuum cleaners. It was enough to get him into the Guinness Book of World Records. The price of his collection is a gold-plated 2003 American vacuum cleaner called a Kirby Ultimate G, and it's worth, well, it says £2,500, which is probably, what, $4,000? There are only 50 of them, made. So all of these vacuum cleaners are going to be collected by people who just want to keep their homes cleaner. There's this great thing called the Law of Unintended Consequences. And when I was remembering about that original program, the reason that the vacuum cleaner became so popular in the UK was because of sailors and the barracks getting what they called the White Plague, which I think was just probably, bronchitis or pertussis. But they found out that by cleaning out all of the dirt and dust from the barracks, that the men who lived there became much, much healthier. And the first person to own a patent for a vacuum cleaner was a man whose name was Herbert Cecil Booth. And I just wonder if anyone has stopped to think about how dirtier, dustier homes are going to lead to less healthy people living in the European Union. I'm betting that they haven't given it a thought. So, once again, collecting and real life have collided. I hope that the people who want to get better vacuums, more powerful vacuums, are able to do so. And of course, the headline to the story, I cleaned up with my collection of rare vacuums. It's from the Financial Mail, which is out of the UK. And I'll put this and all these on the Collector Show website. Okay, so from vacuum cleaners and the EU back here to the US and napkins, and lots of them, on the Collector Show with me, Harold Nickel. It's the interview segment of the Collector Show. What's a napkin for? If you don't know, you've come to the right place. Our guest this week on the Collector Show collects napkins. He has quite an extensive collection. Jacob Kedzierski is with us. And Jacob, I'm really looking forward to talking with you. Welcome to the Collector Show.
Hey, Harold. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, and I want to kind of start out with the uniqueness of your collection. What first inspired you to start collecting napkins?
Well, it was a third grade Christmas party. They gave out Santa Claus napkins, and I think I was just so excited about Christmas. The fact that I had this picture of Santa Claus on this napkin, you know, red and white, super colorful. I just saved it and just went from there.
Do you still have that first napkin?
Oh, yeah, I still have the first napkin.
It's always interesting to me that folks will start collecting based on something that they liked in childhood. It's not as common that people still have whatever those first things were from childhood. And I know from reading your website that you're an accomplished artist and photographer. Let's talk about the art of the napkin. Who were some of the people who designed napkins that you know about?
Maybe the ones I know about are, in the last couple of years, I've been collecting napkins from the 80s, either video game napkins like Pac-Man or movies like E.T., so it's usually the artist behind those movies and video games. Comic ones like Bill Murray, Gary Larson, he does Far Side, mm-hmm. Garfield, any of those. As far as like the more graphical ones, it's hard to find out who these people are because they don't really have, they'll have a copyright in the back, but most of the time that's about it. So a lot of these artists are a mystery.
That's kind of interesting because I'm guessing that, you know, Santa, like your first napkin, he's
everywhere. He's ubiquitous, and likely whoever drew that was probably doing all kinds of other artwork. But the ones that you do know about, the Bill Larsons and people like that, how do you think their art made their way onto napkins?
It's probably maybe in their contract or something, and they're like, oh, we're going to make cups, we're going to make shirts, and we're going to make napkins for birthday parties or something like that. So, I mean, I doubt, maybe they, who knows, maybe they're like, I want napkins, yeah. But I probably they were just part of a package deal or something, and who knows, they probably didn't even think much of it. They're like, oh, it's just a napkin.
Yeah, but, it is, you know, it's interesting to me that, because until I looked at your website, it had never really occurred to me that this was something that you could collect. But with all of the different kinds of crossovers, cross-marketing over the decades, it's a great venue to put your movie poster or your comic strip. And I see that you're a professional photographer, and I'm guessing that you photographed some of these napkins, or have you?
Usually when I get napkins, I scan them in. I don't photograph them. I have a flatbed scanner, so I get a nice crisp image of it to put up on the site.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I was just going to ask you how many napkins you have. How big is your collection?
I've never counted, but I'm guessing it's around 7,000.
Wow.
7,000 to 8,000. Yeah.
That's a whole lot of napkins. Now,
yeah.
the art when you were in the third grade, after that, was this something that you just focused on Santa, or did the hobby just grow from there through grade school, high school, college? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was all holiday napkins, especially birthday napkins. You know, when I was a kid in elementary school, we'd go to a lot of, you know, birthday parties. And then, you know, my family got into it, too. My dad, my uncle, my mom,
no kidding.
They were out collecting napkins. You know, it was later on when I started, I coined the term, they were field collectors. So, you know, they're people that, you know, helped me in my collection. So, you know, I owe a lot to them for everything. But like I was saying earlier, now the last few years I've been more concentrating on like vintage stuff. So I'll go on eBay or go into thrift stores or, you know, anywhere that, you know, dollar stores, they usually have some good deals on napkins.
Right.
But most of the time I try to get them, you know, not pay for them, but, you know, eBay actually has a lot of great napkins, so you can go a little crazy sometimes buying napkins.
Well, I occasionally look on eBay, but I didn't, and again, just like with your website, with the all of the photographs of all of your napkins in your collection, it never would have dawned on me that there were people on eBay selling napkins. Are they doing it for collectors, or is it paper goods in general?
Well, I thought the same thing when I first built my site. That was about maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was the only collector. I was like, who's else collects napkins? I was like, and within a week, I started getting messages from people like, I'm a collector too. This is crazy. I can't believe there's another person out there that collects napkins. So we started trading, and, you know, and as time went on, the site became more and, you know, more and more popular. And there's quite a few napkin collectors around the world, surprisingly.
It is a surprise. And I guess maybe part of the fun of collecting this or anything is that you get to connect with people who have similar interests. Are there napkin collecting clubs or societies? Do y'all meet?
I don't think so. I think, my site has kind of become the hub for collectors. You know, you read down the comments and it's like, oh, I'm so-and-so. You know, if anyone wants to trade or buy or, you know, whatever, contact me here. So, and I've had other, a few years ago, the collectors, I can't remember the name of the site, but it was like a collector's type website. They wanted to purchase my site because it was, you know, for the napkin aspect. And I was like, no, I'm not really interested in selling it.
No kidding.
So, yeah. There's a lot of collectors in Europe. I actually just got an email from a woman in Australia who is selling her collection. So I'm like, we're trying to figure out how to get her collection here.
So without revealing anything that's proprietary, what do these napkins sell for?
Most of the time when someone contacts me with their collection or, you know, I usually just pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Most of the people who collect, or it's either someone in their family that's passed away, they want the collection to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And they want it to go to somebody that's going to take care of it. And so, and that's me.
Mm-hmm. So you catalog I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Usually it's the shipping. It depends on the size of the collection. Last summer, I got a collection from, I think she was in like Arizona or something, but she ended up sending me 30 pounds of napkins, which they went back to the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were all in, you know, mint condition, and I guess she was moving or something, didn't have space for them. So, yeah, it's interesting to... And of course, you know, that's like a gold mine for, you know, inheriting someone else's collection. It's
I
not
guess.
Like, I'm not going to sell them or, I mean, I don't even, how could you put a price on a napkin? You know, some people have contacted me like, oh, I have, you know, these napkins and they give me this crazy price. I'm like, well, I can go on eBay and get those for like $4. I'm
yeah.
not going to give you $20 for these napkins. So,
I want to get back to the people who offered to buy your website, and it's none of my business, but can you give us an idea of how much they were talking about? Was it a lot?
It wasn't that. I mean, it was like a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, but still.
They were more interested in the amount of traffic I was getting. You know, they wanted that traffic to go to their website.
Oh, I see.
And I had nothing against what they had to offer. I was just wasn't interested in, you know, having banner ads all over, you know, my webpage.
I see. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I'd rather just keep it the way it was, and, you know, I didn't want to take it, you know, I'd take it serious, but, you know, it's napkins. You got to have fun with it. I'm not, like, out looking to...
Well, sure.
Make money off of it. I like meeting other collectors, and, you know, I've been saying for years, once I retire, I'm definitely going to be getting into trading more. It's just like, I don't have time to be, you know,
yeah,
trading and going to the post office. And so right now it's just people contacting me, and
it's,
you know, I get rid of their collections. I'll take them.
Yeah. So many people will say the same thing, that, you know, they collect the things that they like and enjoy, with never really a thought of making money at it. And honestly, and we don't talk a lot about this on the show, but the people that I run across who actually put things together to try to make money from their collections do very badly. It's kind of the exception and not the rule that you can have collections, and whether it's stamps or coins or comic books or whatever, that you're not going to make money at it. So again, you're in good company with people who just collect for the sheer joy of collecting. And you mentioned Europe. I don't know if you travel any or a lot, but as you travel, do you snag napkins from different places?
Oh yeah. And I also have a few friends that travel a lot, and not everybody remembers to grab a napkin, because when I ask someone, like, oh, if you're going to, you know, such and such place, you know, grab a napkin, but try to grab two,
just so I have
a double in case one gets damaged, or, you know, like I said, someday I'll trade with somebody. So yeah, those people are good to, you know, the heavy travelers.
Right.
Get some really good napkins, because I've actually never been to Europe. I've lived in Japan, and I've been through like South America, but never, you know, Canada and Mexico, but never Europe. So
yeah, it's
some countries don't even have. I've noticed the last few years that the printing has been tapering off because it's more expensive. So a lot of places will just have, you know, blank napkins. And I don't collect, you know, I usually only collect stuff with the print on.
Yeah, I mean, a blank napkin, who needs that? It's not good for collecting, but what you say about printing is true that, you know, like your Santa, if he had black and red, that's a two-color process, so the napkin has to run through in the old days, the printing press two times, right?
Yep.
So
now I will take a blank napkin if someone draws a picture on it. I'll do that.
Okay. Tell me about that.
You know, I have a lot of friends that are artists, so I'm, you know, if we're out at a restaurant or something or a bar, they'll write something on a napkin, draw a picture, and, you know, I'll take it.
That's very cool. And I guess that the cartoonist that you mentioned earlier, if they had a doodle, you'd take one of those. Do you have any of those in your collection?
No, I wish, but I'll be on eBay looking for those. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky once. My father was traveling, and he ran into Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts.
Mm.
And he persuaded Mr. Schulz to give him his autograph. And I'm a huge Peanuts collector, and that's one of the things that, like you say, you wouldn't sell your collection. Mine certainly isn't for sale.
Yeah, I actually have a lot of Snoopy napkins, so.
Oh, cool. I'm going to go back on your site and look at those. Now, for your field collectors, your friends, your relatives, do you have them out looking for anything specific at the moment, or is it just if they see something that looks interesting, cool, do you give them any kind of instructions?
No, usually they just grab whatever they see. And like when I go home to see my parents in my old dresser, that, you know, it's on the top drawer always. There's always a little stack for me waiting. Or I have friends mail them to me.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's just, you know, with the printing, and I tell them, well, I'm looking, you know, I'm interested in the vintage stuff now. And they don't go out of their way to find vintage stuff. So it's usually, you know, restaurants and just other airline napkins.
Yeah, I would imagine that with so many airlines that we knew, I guess, when I was first started traveling back in the 70s and 80s, a lot of those airlines are gone. So if you had one of those, that would be pretty cool. And you're a photographer and an artist. Tell us about your work in that field. Is it ever related to napkins, or is it something entirely different?
I would say it's entirely different. I've combined, I also do video stuff, video art. So I've done some like slideshows to, you know, napkin slideshows to different songs. I guess that would be the closest to, you know, art side I would get. I do have someday I would like to have a napkin display where you walk into a room and all the walls are covered and ceiling are covered with napkins.
Oh, cool.
So that would be cool to do someday. I think I have enough to do like a small room now.
I would think so.
That's in the works.
Yeah, just the ones on your website I think would make a good piece. And, you know, you might consider a traveling expo for museums that they might be interested in it. Hey, Jacob, how can people find you online?
I have a website. It's jakeheads.com. And if you go into the info section, I'll put a link up to the napkin website. The napkin website's kind of long, drawn out. When I first made it, I wasn't thinking it was going to be anything. So it's like kind of long URL. But so if you go to jakeheads.com, you can find on a link to the napkin collection. You can also see my other work, non-napkin related.
Yeah, it's lots of very interesting photography. Well, listen, Jacob Kedzierski, napkin collector extraordinary, thank you so much for talking with us on the Collector Show this week.
Thanks, Harold, so much. It was a lot of fun.
One more word after this. It's the Collector Show with Harold Nickel. Well, if you didn't think that 7,000 napkins were enough, there's a woman in Slovakia whose name is Antonia Kazakova. She has 62,757 individual napkin designs that she keeps piled up in her office, and she is the Guinness Book of World Record holder. Now, she says that this collection is worth £300,000, which again, in real money, is like close to $500,000. Who's going to buy it, I guess, was the thing that sort of got my attention. But it is a bunch of napkins. And like our guest, Jacob, she has napkins that are devoted to Christmas, but she also has napkins that have the Beatles and things like that. I got very curious about napkins and went looking and found on eBay there are at this time 3,071 listings of napkins for sale on eBay. The most expensive one is listed $4,000. It's called a brown paper napkin. There's a rare vintage 1950 LL Israeli Airline paper napkin. There's more kinds of napkins for sale on here than time will allow me to discuss at too much length, but these are going for $50 a piece, $45 each. One of old rare cars from the 50s for $44. Star Wars, Paris World's Fair, a whole new discovery of collectibles that I didn't know anything about, but there are lots and lots of sites devoted to collecting paper napkins on the internet, and I'll post some of those on the Collector's Show website as well. This bump that I'm playing is, you just can't know how few songs there are about napkins. I think this is like the only, one. So, enjoy. Thanks for listening, and come back next week. Oh, we're going to talk about, with any luck at all, barf bags, collecting barf bags, next week on The Collector's Show with me, Harold Nickel. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, and visit the website, collectorshow.net. Two S's in the middle for Collector's Show. Thanks again. Bye for now.
I have got a pie. Get full of cocktail napkins, names and numbers I carry. Each night I look for love, honky tonks and gloves, but I find cocktail napkins I don't need. I put on my nudie suit, polish up my Nakona boots. I've got the best intentions every time I ask, but every night I end up wishing you'd come back. I've got a pocket full of cocktail napkins, names and numbers I cigarettes. I miss the nights when you come home.